So I'm going to take time to go through it because I think it's important for you to understand. It's just like the United States where it won't label Islamic terrorism. How can you fight somebody you don't know who it is? How can you be prepared for your enemy? And the beast is going to have great influence over the whole world as well as the image of the beast, who's going to be doing miracles and deception, as well as the mark may have something to do with you eating and drinking. So I'm going to go through, and I'm just going to read Revelation 13 first. Then I'm going to read this to you. Then I'm going to ask Chris, and I'll give them their papers back, and Anthony to come up and give you their answers, because I thought they did very well. So I have your papers here on top. I'm not going to give you your papers back yet, because at the end of this class, I may, if there's time, ask you to then write out who is the beast, and you can use your booklet, who is the mark of the beast, and what is the image of the beast. And if you don't believe what's written in the booklet, you can say this. The booklet says, the church says. I may have a different view, but the church says, the booklet says. So you can say that just so I can see if you got what I'm trying to get across to you. All right? So let's go through. First of all, let's look at the Bible. Then we'll look at what this says. And then we'll look at, Anthony and Chris come up and read their papers. Revelation chapter 13. Let's take a look at it. And again, anytime you're given an assignment, don't dismiss the Bible. Look at the Bible. Look at it. Read it. Here's the Bible. Revelation 13. That's where the beast comes up. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So it's coming up from this, in this case, out of the water, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, who could this be? The beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like a bear, and his mouth was as a lion. So one of them, the leopard, is what is identified in Daniel 7 as Greece, the third one. Then you have the second one is the bear, and the first one is the lion, is Babylon. So the second one would have to do with the Medo-Persian group, and then the first one was Babylon. And the dragon gave him his power. So it couldn't be the dragon. So if I read verse 1 or verse 2, I know the beast is not the dragon. It's the dragon that gives authority, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. So I was talking about what? If you go back to Daniel 7, if you go back to Daniel 2, about this great image, where does God smite the image? On the feet, on the toes, on that part of the last ruling empire. He does talk about it being a kingdom. He says these are 4 kings, but he also says the 4th kingdom. So each king is representative of a kingdom, just like the beast could be also referring to a man who rules over this beast kingdom. So we could refer to the man, whoever is the great, the one who makes the final decision. Now, if you look at Europe, which we believe is where the Holy Roman Empire will again be established, when you look at Europe, who is the leading country in Europe right now? Who has the more stability? Who bails other nations out? Germany. Germany is the one that's had the know-how. Mein Kampf, Hitler planned for 3 times, and they've done 2. Is there a third one coming? So again, likely it's going to be a German-led United States of Europe with the blessing of the Roman Catholic Church. With the Roman Catholic Church encouraging people to follow this Holy Roman Empire again, we make it better this time. And with the Pope being there, or the false, whoever that false prophet is at the end, giving the religious aspect of it, performing miracles and telling all the peoples who worship, and remember, almost over 1 billion are Catholics on the earth now, 1 out of every 6 people or seven people on the earth is Catholic. And so they already have a huge number. And when they appeal to these others to come back to them, they will have a huge number. So those people will then throw in with the beast. So let's read it. Let's go on. So I say, who is this appearing? And this is talking about, remember, the book of Revelation is talking about the end time. So who is this? And the dragon gave him his power. So he has these, and let's hold our place there. Let's go back to Daniel. I'll try to be a little more thorough. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. He sees this vision of four great beasts. And notice where these great beasts come from. Verse 3 of Daniel 7. And four great beasts came up from the sea. So here they are. They come up. They come up. They arise. The first one was like a lion. Remember what this last beast had? It was like a leopard, but it had the characteristics of a lion. Lion's mouth, bite and grab. And it had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings were plucked, and it was lifted off the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. And as you know, Nebuchadnezzar was like a beast almost for a while because of his disdain for God. God cursed him and he became insane. Hair was growing all over him, his tail and fingernails were growing out and all the rest until he repented, and then God brought him back. All right, verse 5. And behold, another beast, the second like a bear. And this was considered the Medo-Persian Empire, the one that succeeded Babylon. Like a bear, remember, in that one, this beast at the end, the beast we talk about in Revelation 13, also has the paws or the claws of a bear, and it raised itself up. Notice verse 6, after this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. Well, this one starts out like a leopard, which is like Greece. And remember, too, the Roman Empire still maintained a lot of Greece's culture. The language of the empire was Greek. So again, and which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given it. So right now you see seven heads on this last one. Seven heads and ten horns. How do we get those? Beast number one, one. Beast number two, two. Beast number three has four. Four heads, right? So now we have six heads. Beast number four, seventh heads. Seven heads, ten horns. Okay, so it's an embodiment. And then the last one, and after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. And it devoured and broke in pieces and stomped the residue with the feet, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. So how do you picture the composite of all of these? How do you picture the whole world system? You picture it by seven heads and the ten horns. The ten horns coming up afterwards. So if you have this chart in front of you, you notice Daniel's seven, first beast like a lion. Look all the way across the events, Chaldean Empire. The second beast, the bear, like the Persian Empire. The third beast, the leopard, like Greece. The fourth beast, strong with iron, ten horns, the Roman Empire, in two divisions. It goes on and talks about what those are and the horns and all the rest. You see the horns of Revelation 13 differ somewhat from the other horns that are listed in Daniel 7. They end up the same. All right, so go to the center picture column again. Look where it says Revelation 13. Revelation 13, we see the beast with seven heads and ten horns, verses 1 and 2, being equal to the fourth beast, the Roman Empire. But what part of the Roman Empire is it? All the way down at the end, where it then has the seven horns that are resurrected at the end after the deadly wound is healed. You have the first three being the Vandals, Hairy Lion, Ostrogoths, or the barbarians who took over Rome. And if you'll notice in Revelation 13, the two-horned lamb, dragon, an image of the beast, looks straight across the Roman Catholic Church and papacy, the image of the Roman Empire. Then following down, so that's Revelation 13. Who are they? Who is this? It goes through and talks about the first of the remaining seven horns. So this had seven horns and seven heads and 10 horns. The first three horns of it, talking about the history of the Roman Empire. You had the three barbarians, and after that you had the last seven after the Catholic or the imperial restoration by Justinian in 554. He recognized the supremacy of the Pope, and he submitted to him. And it has been the church. And then what do we find in Revelation 17? Look down, you see the scarlet woman who rode on the beast. Who was riding on the beast? The woman. No, she's on it. It's not taking her for a ride. She's riding it. She has sway over nations and others as well. Why? Because of the religious aspect. So it's good to look at this, good to keep this handy. I don't keep all this in mind either. So if I had asked myself, could you write down these things without having known and studied, I probably would have been all over the place too. So I just wanted to see what you understood. I don't fault you for missing some of them. But several of you had a good grasp on some, others of you went off on others. So let's go back to Revelation 13 and continue. Revelation chapter 13. Let's read what it says. Verse 3, I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. So this is the Roman Empire. After the three barbarians, when was it healed? And he says, and all the world wondered after that beast. All the world. So whoever this beast is, it has worldwide influence. Worldwide influence. And they worshiped the dragon who gave power to the beast. So who's the dragon? Well, Revelation 12:9, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, that dragon, worshiped the dragon who gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. So they worshiped the whole system. They threw in with it. They bowed to the system. They bowed and scraped to it. Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And when you read Revelation 18, you find all these economic gurus getting all upset because all the economies of these nations failing because of this great group, this great beast, rather, beast power. And it's when it's taken down, they're going to all mourn and cry because they threw in with it. Who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? He's so powerful. They said that about Rome. You can't beat us. Remember when they send one of the sad part of the movie Spartacus, I love the movie Spartacus too, is when they came marching in and Spartacus had all of his men primed. He had trained them various ways to fight. They had been, previously gladiators, so they were really good at fighting. And then when the Romans sent their columns against them, they came marching down. They completely boxed them in and beat them, defeated them. Mighty Rome. Same way when you have Braveheart. You know, they send out the troops in England in that case. But with the Roman Empire, which will rule the whole area, when they say the mighty Roman Empire is coming against you, that was pretty awesome. Rome was typically nice to those they conquered. They let them keep their religion as long as they keep them happy, and as long as their religion didn't try to raise a fuss against them. Did not try to rebel against the system. So they said, who is like the beast? So there's an awe of it. There was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. When a mouth blasphemes, it is directing it toward God. Now, why does a military leader really care about God? He doesn't. He just cares about conquering. But there's something to do with this mouth that we'll see talking about when he comes up, another beast that comes up, which is the dragon, the one that, that looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. Who is the mouth of this beast making these blasphemies? You can look up the word blasphemy too. Yes, Chris.
Blasphemy also means not just speaking against, like I'm going to take on God, but also if I'm pretending to be his representative, like I got authority and I claim God's
whatever it
God's
is. Absolutely.
Me.
It's an insult to God. It's an insult to God. That's what the intent is. It's sacrilegious. It's, you could be pretending to be God, whatever, but it is an insult to God. So that's what this mouth is doing. A mouth speaking great things, and power was given to him to continue 40 and 2 months, which is 1260 days. And we parallel this to 2 Thessalonians 2, where this one sits in the temple of God claiming he is God. The one who holds down the truth and wants, doesn't want people to understand. Okay, verse 6. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So he's giving all types of misdirection to people. All types of bad things about for worship of angels or whatever he's doing. He's giving lots of bad information about God, whoever this is. Again, we go back to 2 Thessalonians 2. You could also tie in with that Daniel 11 where it says, oh, plant this beast power, this power from the north, will plant his tabernacles in the Holy Land, which we see is a move by the Pope or the Catholic Church to move its headquarters to Jerusalem. And, of course, that's where that great fight's going to take place at the end. The armies that are surrounding and defending him and his religion are going to be matched up against the those that come from the other side of the Euphrates who come to, where is it, Armageddon, to gather there to fight each other. Now, the funny part is this woman who seems to have a lot of power to start with, in Revelation, I think it's 17 or 18, 17, we find she's going to be taken down. They're going to say, well, you said you could perform miracles. You said you could do this. And look what's happening to us. We're losing the fight. We're taking you down. So you're going to see her own people, her own beast turns on her. Okay, let's go on. So blasphemy. It was given to him to make war with the saints. The big mouth is going to make war with the saints. Why? You know, why does a military power care about a little church over here that keeps the Sabbath? What does a military care about that? But I'll tell you who does care about it. A rival. So they make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Satan the devil has deceived the whole world, Revelation 12 and verse 9. And they will continue to be deceived by him and his ministers. He does have ministers, right? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So we know he's not just talking about angels here. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just for clarification, because I'm having a lot of trouble with this. I'm just going to admit that. The beast is referring to this economic power or what? Is it a person?
The whole system, the military, the economic, the whole system. That's going to be at the end, that's going to be prevailing in the end time before Christ comes back.
Okay, and the power behind, the real spiritual power behind it is, of course, Satan.
That's what it says.
Yeah, and the dragon is in reference to that
dragon is Satan.
Satan and that spiritual power. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the whole system at the end is going to be the beast power. That's the main system. And if people don't give in to it, don't follow it, they're not going to be able to eat or drink. If they don't have the mark, if they don't know the name, if they don't have the code, they're not going to be able to buy or sell. They're not going to have be fit in. And you can go back. We'll talk about the mark when we come to it. So here he is. This is the not the dragon, but the mouth. The mouth of this one. Who's going to be the mouthpiece? Who's going to be out there promoting it? Who's going to be out there giving sanction to it? Who's going to be out there sprinkling holy water on it to bless it? Who's going to be giving it legitimacy in the eyes of the world? Okay? Who's going to be blessing it? Who's going to be pronouncing this person? You know, many of the emperors in Europe feared the Pope. All right, so let's go to verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're going to worship the whole system, including the church, because it's a it'll ultimately have the image of the beast, which we will see is the church. The image of the beast is the church. But how does that dragon or how does that beast power speak? Its mouthpiece is that image. So we'll go on and see this. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Again, pay attention, he says, if you have an ear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. They will hang in there despite the troubles, despite this rulership, and despite this world. Now, I don't know who these will be left. I'm assuming that those who've been faithful all the way through from their calling, that God is going to protect them, as he says in Revelation 3:10. Protect them from the troubles that will come. Who spawns the troubles of the tribulation? Who spawns the persecution against God's people? It is this beast power with its connection with the religious power. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. So you have to interpret this based on the symbolism. Who is a lamb? John 1:36, I think it is. Behold, the Lamb of God, or is it 1:29? No, it could be both. But let me look at it. Give it to you. John 1:29 says, behold, the Lamb of God, and John 1:36 is both of them. John 1:29 and 26. Behold, the Lamb of God was Jesus Christ. So it looks like Christ. Remember, somebody's going to sit in the temple claiming he is Christ. Looks like Christ, but speaks as a dragon. Who's the dragon? Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So now we know who the dragon is. So speaking like Satan, bringing you falsehoods, bringing you the truth which has been diluted and covered. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So what does this holy man, this person who looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon, what does he do? He causes all the people to look at that first beast. Who was the first beast? The military economic combine. He represents them. He oversees them. She rides upon him, that beast. This is the woman, Revelation 17, you'll see. Revelation 17, she sits upon many waters. And here's the woman that rides upon this great beast. Yeah, here's the mind. Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So it's Rome, seven kings. And then verse 12 says, and the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but will receive power as kings 1 hour. And again, they will make war with the Lamb, but she sits upon this great beast. She rides upon it. The kings of the earth have come to commit fornication with her, woman drunken with the blood. The beast that you saw, verse 8, was it is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So that's what she sits upon, that beast, that Roman beast. All right. So let's go back to Revelation 13, verse 13. He does great wonders, and he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So this second one, this lamb that speaks like a dragon, is performing miracles. Why do you perform miracles? What does a miracle do? Wow, fascinates people, doesn't it? It's performing miracles. You need to be aware of that, because that will happen. God says it will. Performs miracles, does wonders, makes fire come down from heaven, and verse 14, and deceives them that dwell on the earth. Who is the deceiver? Revelation 12:9, Satan the devil has deceived the whole world. So here's Satan spawning this deception through whom? Through this lamb that looks like a lamb, it speaks like a dragon. And deceives them on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. This deadly wound, but came back a lot. So the Roman Empire was over. The barbarians took it over, but then it was healed again. You have the Roman Empire again. So it's saying, throw in with it. Let's give our allegiance to it. Let's follow it. And verse 15, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast. So here's this image of the beast. What is the image of the beast? It's not what does the beast look like. It's reflecting the beast. It's what patterned after the beast. And what does the beast have? It's governmental system. And so does the Catholic Church have a governmental system. It's saying, follow the beast. Follow the beast. Leading people to follow the beast. So we see the image of the beast being the church, which models after it and which endorses it. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and who's the spokesman again, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So the image of the beast is different from the actual beast. It's a image of it. It's a representation of it. It's a model of it. And it wants people to worship that too. And he causes all, both small and great. Who is this? This dragon speaking, lamb. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads. Now, I asked about the mark. Many of you jumped right to the number because you had studied the number. That's okay. It's a man, number of a man. But what is the mark? And you can read in here as a section on what is the mark of the beast. Traditionally, and he talks about how servants were all marked with a mark, kind of like a brand. Also talks about, and some of you brought out, could it be a computer chip? Could it be a code or whatever you had to have? Could it be what they implant in people's arms if they're willing to follow in with the system? You also find what is a mark or a sign, that which distinguishes. How are you distinguished? If I were going to look for God's people, I would look for a people that keep the commandments of God, all of them, including number 4. And if I found people that did not have number 4 on their plate, I would dismiss them. Why? Because to me, that is a sign. That was a test. God said to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, now I know that you will walk in my law. I'm going to test you to see if you will walk in my law or not. What was the test commandment? Sabbath. When people ask for Is that, why did that open back there? Somebody's doing it. Okay. On the Sabbath day, what is the mark? What do you look for? You look for people who are going to be following God. It's the test, whether they will walk in God's law or not. And when we have people wondering whether they've been converted or not, some of them may be baptized by somebody else. We always want to know, how long did it take you to understand God's Sabbath? How long did it take? Because it's a test commandment, whether you'll walk in his ways or not. And some of them hadn't learned it yet, that they had all the good fruits in their life. They were keeping Sunday. They didn't know any better. Nobody was there to pastor them. They went and were baptized. They came. They were still continuing to keep Sunday. What we found is when we revealed to them what the Sabbath was, which day it was, they immediately changed. I said, great. So we find a Sabbath is a test commandment for many. So is the Sabbath a sign here? Is that the sign? Which, if you keep it, you cannot work on certain days. So your right hand and your forehead. What should be in your forehead? Your will to do what? And the knowledge that you accumulate. So again, that's a possibility. The booklet brings that up. You can read that. So he causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads. And that no man may buy or sell except that he had the mark. This is what the mark, what I asked. I didn't ask about the number. You did a thorough study on the number. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So you can't buy or sell unless you have one of those three things, or maybe all three of them. If you don't have the mark, his mark, not God's mark. Exodus 31:13 talks about the Sabbath being a sign of God's people. This is a sign of my people. So then he says the last part, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. Okay? So there, the beast can not only be the system, can also refer to the man. Whoever is the head honcho. Years ago, we thought it was Franz Josef Strauss. Before that, I thought it was Hitler. Then they thought it was Franz Josef Strauss, that he would be the one because he seemed to be a strong man of Europe. We used to have a Plain Truth article, Plain Truth magazine, that actually featured a big picture, front page, of Franz Josef Strauss as strong man of Europe because he had some ties to Hitler and the Nazism, and he was a real strong leader. So again, the people were trying to, in the Plain Truth and Worldwide Church of God, were trying to be too predictive. Had this big splash of who he was. Okay, so that's Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to refer you to the booklet. If you open it up, you'll see page 51. Page 51. Talks about the mark and the number of the beast. Mark and number of the beast. So, students, here's what I would recommend. Be curious to find God's way. Be curious to search it out, to know it. Can I explain this? Do I know this? Can I understand this? How do I understand it? Go through and read what it says. It gives you guidelines. It gives you help. Revelation 13. It says, what is behind the strange sounding practice? How will it affect people as the end time draws near? It talks about some kind of mark in their hand. Many have speculated about the meaning of this puzzling prophecy. Some interpret it in terms of supercomputers, unique personal identity numbers, and even microchips embedded under the skin. We're not saying we know exactly. We're saying, is it this? Is it that? Could it be this? And some of you actually put that. Good for you. However, we should consider that receiving a mark in your right hand or your hand and forehead could be figurative. Could be figurative, not literal. Remember, Revelation 7:3, God's servants were sealed on their foreheads, but we believe they received the Holy Spirit, were converted. And in Deuteronomy 6, Moses told God's people to keep all his statutes and his commandments, noting, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. So God's commandments had to do with what was in your will and what you did with your hands. So again, what do Jews do? Well, they wear those, what is it, not phylacteries, but they wear those on their hands and on their forehead, a little box. to try to remind them to keep the commandments. Okay. Likewise, the mark of the beast is evidently a mark of disobedience to God. Many Bible students have pointed to God's seventh-day Sabbath as an identifying sign of his people. Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17. See the mark of the beast as running counter to it. So again, that gives you a hint. What do you think it is? What do you believe it is? To base it on something. Then go to the next page, page 52, bottom of the page, page 52, says the beast that appears, the last paragraph, the beast that appears to John in Revelation 13 is a composite of the empires represented by the image described in Daniel 2 and the four beasts of Daniel 7. So go that explains what a beast is. Then on page 53, he says, notice how powerful this beast is, possessing many of the key characteristics of the persecuting empires preceding it. It will be in its end time manifestation because all the world marveled at it. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. It's not the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? And it talks about a mouth speaking great things, and it parallels that to Book of Revelation believes this mouth, this dominant power, will use his principal weapon against Christ and his people at the end of the age. Bottom of the page. Satan will cause the human dictator to the end time beast, who is referred to as the beast, to be worshipped worldwide. Satan will give the coming dictator power to transform his political, military, situations. Then you go and you talk about what is the other part of it, then another beast on page 56 and 57. So I recommend you read that thoroughly. If you haven't done it already, check it with your Bible, look up the scriptures, and put it well in mind, who is the beast? What is the bark? All right, I'm going to stop.